in our hearts and fill them with love and compassion to such an extent that they just naturally flow forth from us, reaching out and touching the hearts of all those in our presence. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who is that love incarnate, amen and amen. But as usual, I usually start off here with my thoughts for the week. And these are rather short ones, but still very powerful in meaning. The first one is comes from the writings of Mary Caroline Richards, who is an American poet who died just at the turn of the century. Love is not a doctrine. Peace is not an international agreement. Love and peace are beings who live as possibilities in us. Now, I find that to be a kind of masterful interpretation of what we have as the fundamental commands of Jesus of Nazareth. Simple, only two: love God and love your fellow human beings, regardless of who they are or what they are or what they do. Very difficult thing to achieve. Very difficult thing to achieve. Now, the next one is from an American Episcopal bishop who is retired, a fairly controversial figure if you know anything about John Shelby Spong. He was always in hot water somewhere. But here is a very short statement of his that is still, I think, a very, very powerful one. I experience God as the power of love. I experience God as the power of love. If we could focus on things like that, what a difference we would make in the world around us, don't you think? I experience God as the power of love. And then, reaching all the way back to antiquity, to one of the great Greek playwrights, Sophocles, one word frees us of all the weight and pain of life. That word is love. He died in the year 406 before Christ. That's a long time ago, 2,400 years plus. And things that we should keep on our mind. But we have a world that we live in today that is really very difficult. And when people try to do the right thing and try to do the good thing, we often do not do it. I was looking through some books of mine here over the week, and one of them I have is a book that I've mentioned before. It's called Stone Soup and Stories for the World. It's a collection of short things. And the very first one in that, and I've told this to you before, but it bears hearing again, particularly and these days, in the world in which we're living right now, where almost every single day we hear of shootings, we hear of killings, we hear of all kinds of nasty things about other people, just because maybe they have different color hair, or they come from a different community, or they have a different color skin, or they have different beliefs than ours. We just really tear lots of those people down. But this story is called Starfish. And it's little starts off, it's only one paragraph. And in this story, it talks about a little girl who's walking on a beach after a storm that thrown in thousands of starfish. And as she went down the beach, she would bend down and pick one up, and she would throw them back as she went down, as many as she could. And there was a man watching her. And he looked down at her, and he went up to her, and he said, "You know, little girl, you can't save them all." And she was bending down to pick up another one. And she was down there for a moment. And she picked one up. And she gathered up all the strength that she could have and threw it as far as she could possibly throw it. And she said, "No, but I can save this one. I can save this one." Could you imagine what would happen? What would happen if all of the religious people of the world, regardless of which religion they're in, whether it be a Native American religion, whether it be, you know, Taoism in the Far East, or whether it be Hinduism or Buddhism. And they all have their splits, but they all have a basic, fundamental common denominator. And that is that they emphasize love in lots of different ways and lots of different words. Could you just imagine what would happen if, like that little girl, we all just bent down and picked one up and threw it as far as we can? Or we saw somebody in need and did everything we could to help them overcome that. And there are so many ways to do that. This church, I know, is involved in a lot of those kind of things. In the Pastimes program, for example, in the food pantry, and helping people get back on the work track and helping them learn how to sit for interviews. All kinds of things we can do. Wouldn't it be great for that to happen? And I was thinking about that in light, up until this morning, of what was happening in El Paso, Texas. 26 people injured, 20 murdered. Six of them were from Mexico. It's right on the border, so they could go back and forth to shop. And so on. Why? Why? Everybody knows, you know, that phrase that I used for forgiveness here before, John 3:16. God so loved the world, and God wants us to do the same thing. Why is that so difficult for us to get across our minds and our hearts and so on? And that came about understanding that even more clearly. August 17th, 2017, that was the day of the confrontation in Charlottesville, Virginia. You all remember that, right? Where you had one group facing off against another, and there was all kinds of pain and suffering going on there then. Well, in that particular situation, they decided to have a celebration of that day to bring people together to overcome that kind of hatred. And they were preparing to return to, they are preparing to return to Charlottesville, or in that vicinity, in a few days. They're having a gathering on August the 12th, I understand. And in that gathering, people are going to come together and they're going to be singing. And they're going to be singing positive songs about love and acceptance and forgiveness. They are going to have an interfaith service where churches that normally don't get together will come together and show solidarity and stand up against those who take the name of religion and then go in the opposite direction. I can remember very clearly, for example, there was a Christian minister in Georgia, I believe it was, Georgia or Alabama, who had a copy of the Quran in his hand. And then he burned it in the service. Burned it in the service. Now, let me tell you, that's a really great way, you know, to get along with people, isn't it? A really great way. Take something that is deeply meaningful for them, for their understanding of love and grace. And when I brought that up to people, they say, well, yes, you know, but the Muslims say, if you can't convert them, kill them. And then I say to them, really? Have you ever really read the Old Testament? There is more killing on that than there is on TV these days. It is an incredible amount of killing in the Old Testament. But we don't want to be tied to that because our faith grows and we learn more and more as we move along. God so loved the world. Gathering, they're trying to gather to celebrate and to try to overcome that hatred there. But even as that gathering tries to come together to put a positive twist to it, there's another group that is gathering. And guess which group that is? This is a group that gets together and says, all those people who are coming, you know, are just really America haters. And we should stand up against them and so forth. And one man was wearing a T-shirt, I understand. And on the T-shirt it said, I believe in him, John 3:16. And then he also had made the comments, I believe in him, but I think we ought to kill everybody else who doesn't believe the same way I do. I don't know how in the world you could stand in this one place at the same time and hold those two positions at the same time. That is incredible disorder, stupidity, hatred, prejudice. When every single thing that we are taught to do is the opposite, break bread together, join together, lift one another up. And the other group was also playing games. They formed their own NAACP. You all know what the NAACP is, I would presume. You know, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Well, this one is, this new group, is the National Association for Awakening Confederate Patriots. Pretty clever. It's still NAACP, but pretty stupid. Just fostering hatred. Just holding up in front of us evil. This is evil personified. I always thought, you know, that evil really didn't exist. It was just a kind of a distortion of the human goodness that because we're finite, we can't always make the right choices. But we can learn and overcome them. But no, I'm not so sure that there isn't something that is irremediably evil as we look at it. And this tells us this here. To whom and to what are we ultimately committed? Are we really committed to that gospel of love and grace? The agape that Jesus talks about and that Jesus lived in his own life all the way to the cross, in which he said, even in dying, Father, forgive them because they do not understand what they're doing. And we still don't, not to a large degree. There are too many of us who we go so far and we stop. But we can go further and we can go on and on. Surely things above us, the goodness and being rich in God, advocating forgiveness and advocating justice for all people, carries the day. And yet the world's out there and they say, send her back. Lock her up. Now this is a way to really resolve problems, isn't it? The Christian church and other churches and other religious communities have a message that goes in the exact opposite direction. Really. And we are the ones who have to make it happen. So we have to follow Jesus' teachings. And thinking about it this week, I want to share a prayer for this that I wrote in light of it, and move from here to the table, because at the table we break bread together. And you know, when you break bread together across the table and you talk, atmospheres change. Even when you're in adversarial situations, they still change when you break bread together. And the Lord's Supper is the kind of prime example of that breaking bread together. And so, as we gather together here at this table, and as we gather together at any time at any table, let us remember that in the breaking of bread, we can see another child of God. We can see another human being that is looking for life and goodness as well as we are. That's the message that we have, and it is a powerful one. But in light of all the things that have been happening, I wrote this paragraph that I want to close with. So this week, I will also pray. I will pray for the people who are planning to wield torches rather than shine their light. I will pray for those who somehow believe the gospel justifies racism rather than makes every proud division end. I am praying for all those who inflict violence upon human beings instead of pursuing human kindness. I am praying fervently to turn toward the one whose goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives, despite our greed, despite our evil desires, and our inexplicable tendency to move away from the very thing that is going to make us better human beings, being filled with grace and redemption, and being redeeming, reconciling agents in the world. And so as we come to the table, and for the day, and maybe for the weekend, as much as we can, I humbly ask you to pray with me daily for these things. And in that, we come now to the table of the Lord, where we have a supreme example of it. And I invite everyone who is here to come to the table, because in this particular community of believers, our table is always open to everyone and anyone who wishes to do so. So I invite you all now to come. Come with me.